Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. Donald Trump apparently wanting to do what he accused Barack Obama of wanting to do for a long, long time. And I retweeted these tweets of Trump's this morning. I couldn't figure out how to create a continuous thread with all of his tweets because you have to retweet a tweet in order to do it. So maybe, I don't know, it's beyond me technically. But so I just retweeted four of his tweets with a comment on each one. And several of the comments are the same. But in any case, just to get to the beginning, this is November 29, 2011. Okay. President Obama was elected in 2008. He was standing for re-election in 2012. So this is the fall of 2011. It's, just a couple weeks short of a year from the election. And Donald Trump tweets, "In order to get elected, Barack Obama will start a war with Iran." So you kind of know that that's how he thinks, right? That, hey, you know, the way that presidents get reelected is they start wars with Iran. And then on October 9th, 2012, right, this is a year later. This is 3 weeks before the election, 3.5 weeks before the election. "Now that Obama's poll number," Trump tweets, "now that Obama's poll numbers are in a tailspin, watch for him to launch a strike on Iran. He is desperate." And then on September 16th, 2013, now this is, Obama has been reelected, sworn back into office for his second term. September 16, 2013, "I predict that President Obama will at some point attack Iran in order to save face." Donald Trump, again, sharing with us how he thinks about this. And then November 10th, this is about 6 weeks later, still in 2013, the first year of Obama's second term. "Remember that," Trump tweets, "remember that I predicted a long time ago that President Obama will attack Iran because of his inability to negotiate properly. He's not skilled." And then Donald Trump, in July of last year, less than a year ago, tweeted to Iranian President Rouhani, "Never, ever threaten the United States again, or you will suffer consequences the like of which few throughout history have ever suffered before. We are no longer a country that will stand for your demented words of violence and death. Be cautious." Okay, so this is Donald Trump's history over the last, 8 years now, of constantly talking about war with Iran. And what's at the top of the news right now? This from the BBC. U.S. sends aircraft carrier and bomber task force to, quote, warn Iran. This article is filled with quotes from John Bolton. John Bolton said, the United States is deploying the USS Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group and a bomber task force to the U.S. Central Command region to send a clear and unmistakable message to the Iranian regime that any attack on United States interests or on those of our allies will be met with unremitting force. Now, what could that mean? Well, for example, Iran is supportive of the Houthis in Yemen. And so if the Houthis, and they're fighting a war with Saudi Arabia, but Iran is supportive of them. Iran is supportive of Bashar al-Assad in Syria. If in either case, the Houthis or Assad were to attack the Saudis, which, by the way, is going on, right? The, you know, we're having wars, and the Saudis are having, we've got a war going on in Syria. The Saudis have a war going on in Yemen. If in either case, our ally, the Saudis, this dictatorial regime that Donald Trump is in love with, were attacked, well, this is what John Bolton says. We are fully prepared to respond to any attack. Now, as he said, any attack on the United States interests, which could be a company, or on those of our allies, the interests of our allies, right? Bolton says, we are fully prepared to respond to any attack, whether by proxy, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, or regular Iranian forces. Recently talking to reporters in Europe, he said, it is absolutely the case that we will hold the Iranians accountable for attacks on American interests. Interests. So how do you stop an authoritarian president from taking us to war? Maggie Thatcher back in 1978 had a little war in the Falklands. Her popularity was absolutely in the toilet. She had fallen off the edge of the earth, popularity-wise, because she had busted the coal miners' union, which was the largest union in the UK. It was one of the first things she did when she came into office, just like, you know, Reagan. The first thing he did was bust PATCO, the Air Traffic Controllers' Union. She busted the coal miners' union, and she was very unpopular in the United Kingdom as a consequence of these insane neoliberal policies, these libertarian right-wing policies. And so she ginned up this little war with the Argentinians and the Falklands, and she won it. And suddenly her popularity was like way above 50%. And her party grew in the next election, and she got herself reelected and, you know, or reappointed or whatever they call it in the UK, because the prime minister is appointed by parliament. But in any case, it worked for her. And Ronald Reagan looked at that and said, ha, we need to have a little war as he's going toward his reelection campaign, which is what Donald Trump is going towards. And so he went to his advisors, presumably. I mean, I wasn't in the room, but, you know, his advisors said, well, if you want to have a little war like Maggie Thatcher did, there's this island, Grenada, off the coast of Florida. And Maurice Bishop is the guy who runs it, and he's kind of buddies with Castro, and he's a socialist. And there's a medical school there, and it's medical school indigenous to that island, but there are some American students there. So let's go rescue the American students, which is what they did. And they killed a few people, you know, but there were, I don't think there were any Americans who died. In any case, so Reagan had his little war, and guess what happened? His popularity went up. And so then George Herbert Walker Bush follows Reagan, and he's like, you know, a year and a half into his presidency, and he's raised taxes on rich people after having said, read my lips, no new taxes. And so all the rich people, well, all the Republicans are like, you know, well, this guy's not a Republican. He lied to us. George Bush the Elder. Plus, he had the Iraq Gate scandal that was going on, and then he had the Iran-Contra scandal, and they were closing in on him, on Iran-Contra. Did Reagan and Bush conspire with the Iranians to hold the hostages in order to defeat Jimmy Carter? We've discussed this with President Carter on this program twice. And the president of Iran, who was working with Carter to try and get the hostages freed, said, I'm sorry, I can't do it because they cut, you know, the mullahs cut a deal with the Reagan campaign. And the hostages, of course, were freed literally at the minute that Ronald Reagan put his hand on the Bible to be sworn into office in January of 1981. So Reagan had his little war. Bush had his little war. Nixon, of course, had his big war, Vietnam. He blew up peace negotiations in 68, so that he could come into office as a wartime president. And then he kept it going through the election of 72 so he could get reelected as a wartime president. Nixon knew the name of the game. I mean, Nixon tried to have a war in 1960. In 1960, when Nixon was running for president against John Kennedy, he was also vice president and he was in charge of the Cuba desk. And he put together what became the Bay of Pigs invasion. It was supposed to happen in the fall of 1960. It didn't, in large part because of weather, but, you know, it's a whole other story. But Nixon tried to have a little war with Cuba. So then George W. Bush tells his biographer in 1999, well, you know, if you want to be seen as a president, you got to have a war. So if I'm going to invade Iraq, only I'm not going to pull out in 100 hours like my daddy did. I'm going to have a real war and get myself reelected and have a successful presidency, is what he said to Mickey Herskowitz, the guy who wrote the first draft of A Charge to Keep, George W. Bush's autobiography. I'm going to have a war. And he did. Now, you know, Bill Clinton arguably was pushed into the war in Bosnia by public opinion. We all watched on CNN as Sarajevo was being bombed day after day, as I recall. And Jimmy Carter did not have any wars during his 4 years. Look how that turned out. Barack Obama, you know, he continued the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I think his taking out Gaddafi was a mistake, but there were no showpiece wars for Barack Obama, as best I can say. So this seems to be kind of a Republican thing. So how do we stop authoritarian presidents from taking us to war? How do we deal with a president who believes, who clearly believes, based on his tweets and his public statements over the last 10 years or so, clearly believes, as every Republican since Richard Nixon has clearly believed. Obviously, Dwight Eisenhower was the last Republican president to say no more war. But every Republican since Richard Nixon, including Richard Nixon, believed that war was a reelection vehicle. War was a device to get reelected. And by the way, this is not new. I mean, I just read Watts's History of the Roman Empire over the weekend, which is breathtaking. We're trying to get him on the program to talk about this. It's called Mortal Republic, this new book about how the Roman Empire fell. And to a large extent, it was war. I mean, you know, it was just this expansion, this continuous expansion of the empire. But that's a conversation for another day. One of the other things that presidents can do during times of war is declare emergencies. Now, we have never had an emergency declared in the United States where we said, you know, there's a war going on, we're not going to hold an election. Lincoln arguably could have pushed that envelope, but I don't think any other president could have or would have or even thought about it. But I wouldn't put it past Donald Trump at all. You know, we're in the middle of a war with Iran. It's an existential war, and it's spreading across the Middle East. You know, now Israel is into it, and Saudi Arabia is into it, and you know, other countries in the region, and you know, we've got to suspend our elections. And the early warning sign of this, because Trump always foreshadows things, right? He always warns us in advance of what's coming, is yesterday he's now agreeing with Jerry Falwell Jr., the phony Christian. Trump is now agreeing with his phony Christian that he should get 2 more years as a makeover, as a mulligan, or whatever the word is from golf, that because he had 2 years of being investigated by Mueller. So he should get 2 more years. So let's move the election back 2 years to 2022. I mean, Trump is literally saying, I should get 2 more years. In fact, he himself tweeted about the stolen 2 years of our presidency, collusion, delusion, that we will never be able to get back. He says, well, I'm raising this playfully. Right. When we're in the middle of a war with Iran, I don't think he's going to be so playful about it. What do you think? Tom Harbin here with you. Stephen Miles, the director of Win Without War. This was one of the organizations, I believe, that emerged out of George W. Bush's saber rattling. Remember when George W. Bush gave his State of the Union address? I believe it was the one in February, March of 2002, when he said that there was this axis of evil, a phrase that his speechwriter, David Frum, had invented. And he said that the axis of evil was Iraq, Iran, and North Korea, and that we had to take them out. And immediately what happened was Iran and North Korea started building nuclear weapons. And Iraq said, we're not going to do nuclear weapons. We're not the axis of evil. Our, you know, Saddam Hussein is just, he's writing a romance novel trilogy right now. We've got nothing. Send over the inspectors. Come on, you can look all through our country. You know, bring Hans Blix, bring Scott Ritter. Check it out. It's all good. You know, we have nothing to fear. And the UN scoured the country from end to end, and they couldn't find anything. And George W. Bush went to war with them anyway, and they had nothing to do with 9/11. And George W. Bush and Dick Cheney went to war with them anyway. They lied us into this war. And what happened when the war was finally resolved, in quotes? What was the first international business to open in downtown Baghdad in Iraq? It was the Bank of Iran. Iran and Iraq have become allies. Iraq has a Shia majority. The Iranians are Shia, more or less. And so they're good buddies. So there's a significant Shia presence in Iran now, in Iraq now. And all Trump is saying now is any American interest is attacked, we will go to war with Iran. Now, that could be a bunch of American soldiers in Iraq who get attacked by forces, any kind of forces, local warlords or whatever, who ever got any kind of support at all from Iran. And in fact, Stephen Miles, the director of Win Without War, said the latest indication is that this administration is running full speed directly into a major war with Iran. And then referring to Trump's tweets about this, he says, this is Bush and Iraq in 2002. The time to stop their disastrous war plans is now. Meanwhile, the headline over at the New York Times, U.S. officials raise alarm of Iranian threat targeting American troops in Iraq. You get this? Senior American officials said on Monday that new threats by Iran against U.S. troops in Iraq were behind the sudden deployment of an aircraft carrier strike group and Air Force bombers. Shades of Gulf of Tonkin, shades of Remember the Maine, shades of, you know, hey, wave that bloody shirt of 9/11 when you attack Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11. In fact, Iraq, you know, Saddam Hussein was the bitter sworn enemy of Osama bin Laden. But that didn't matter. We went to war anyway. Maverick in Edmonds, Washington. Hey, Maverick, what's up?
You mentioned George Bush Sr. saying, he said no new taxes. And I remember that. I was a little younger at the time. But I figured out that he wasn't lying. It was spelled K-N-O-W, taxes.
Okay.
That's how it worked.
All right. But you had, I want to talk about the, you know, Trump and his war with Iran. You had some thoughts on that.
I got two thoughts. Number one, we enforce the Constitution, which I believe gives Congress and only Congress the power to declare war.
That's correct.
And number two is vote, people.
Yeah.
We get Democrats in office in the House and the Senate and the presidency. I believe that we won't have a war.
Well, we'll see. You know, I'm concerned that Trump is going to get a war in order to get himself reelected or even to suspend elections. But time will tell. Mike in Salem, Oregon. Hey, Mike, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's the same old story. It's all happening again. And the stupid Americans are going to let it happen, I guess.
What's the it you're talking about?
The wars.
Oh.
More wars.
Yep.
Donald Trump's revving it up, Bolton revving it up, and how stupid can we be? It's unbelievable that we let our politicians get us into this mess. It's unbelievable that the American people have got to be smarter than that.
Well, one would hope. Mike, I got to move along. I want to get another call in here, but one would hope. Richard in Evanston, Illinois. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind?
You know, when we had the other wars, we had a coalition. It took us months to build up. You know, putting a battleship or an aircraft carrier in the Gulf near Iran is nothing. So I just don't see us doing that. But
it's not just an aircraft carrier. It's an aircraft carrier and a group of battleships. And that's not nothing. I mean, that's a big deal.
No, that's a battle group. Tom, that's a battle group.
I know, and that's a big deal. It's just like it was a big deal when George W. Bush said, you know, the axis of evil includes Iraq. And then, you know, within a year, he was, or a year and a half, he was in a full-scale war with Iraq.
Yeah, it took a while to build a consensus. I mean, I'm not saying it isn't going to happen. This guy's a lunatic, but this is his way of operating. How many people have we threatened to attack? You know, now it's Cuba, Venezuela.
Yeah, but wait until you've got a half a dozen U.S. soldiers who are ambushed someplace in Iraq, and suddenly the word comes out that a group that ambushed them was associated with Iran. And this administration starts pounding on it and yelling about it. And literally, there was literally no connection between Iraq and 9/11. None. Zero. Not only was there no connection, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And in fact, the one guy that they said from Al-Qaeda had gone to Iraq had never gone to Iraq. But Saddam Hussein was actively prosecuting, persecuting, looking for, arresting, and executing anybody who was affiliated with Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And yet still George W. Bush talked us into going into a war in Iraq. And the majority, well over 60% of Americans, believed that we went to war in Iraq because Iraq had something to do with 9/11.
But he had Tony Blair and a few others. And you're right. You're 100%. Everything you said is 100% right. I just can't see us. So, you know, I could see us launching some planes, blowing something up. It would look so stupid. This is the way the guy operates. And our real problem is the media, because you've alluded to it, which is what I wanted to get onto, which is how the media cannot report. They report everything that, you know, dog bites per a man. You know, I mean, right. There's no, there's nothing like what you just said that you ever hear in our media. And the other thing that we should be doing, by the way, is use one of their tools, which is when he talks about invading these countries, how are we going to pay for that? When we talk about Social right. Security, when we talk about Medicare, this is something they've perfected. They've paved the road. And that's the way we ought to be talking. How are we going to pay for this?
A war in Iran?
American lives.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Use the Republican question. I don't think that they'll pay any attention. Nobody asks how much wars cost, and which is obscene in and of itself. I mean, you know, just $600 billion a year for war. But here's how I think it's going to play out, Richard. There will be some small provocation. We amp up our provocation. You know, we go to alert or we lob a missile into some place or other. Iran then responds with the most powerful weapon they have, which is closing the straits. The Straits of Hormuz, closing the Gulf to oil traffic. Suddenly, Saudi Arabia's oil can't get to market anymore. And when that happens, the price of oil goes to $100 a barrel, which is great for Iran because they're still exporting oil, and arguably great for Saudi Arabia. And then we use that as the pretext for an all-out war. Richard, I got to run, but thank you for the call. Scott in Los Angeles. Hey, Scott, thanks for listening to KPFK. What's on your mind?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I think that we already have a dictatorship. The day that Trump was allowed to take $1 billion from the defense budget and move it over for his wall project in violation of Congress's appropriation abilities, things ended there. And all the ignoring of all the subpoenas, he's acting like a dictator already, and they're letting him get away with it.
Yeah.
If they don't impeach him, then the Constitution is not worth much.
Well, and this is the problem, and this is the crisis. This is what Rome went through, you know, in the last years of Julius Caesar's reign, and then through the triumvirate, you know, the next 10 years or so, maybe it was 13, 14 years, that led to the rise of Octavian, Augustus Caesar, who became Rome's first emperor. I mean, that was literally the end of the Roman Republic after 500 years. And then Rome continued for another 1,500 years, right up to 1453, when the walls of Constantinople were breached and the Roman Empire fell. It continued for another 1,500 years, not as a republic, as an empire, with an emperor, you know, as an absolutely autocratic, plutocratic state. And if you want to draw parallels to the United States in that regard, I think that it has been happening over the last 40 years. I think the last 40 years, you know, starting in a small way with Nixon and a big way with Reagan, have led us to a period of time that's not that different. It has been sort of like that triumvirate period in Roman history. But I agree with you, Scott. I think that American democracy has been damaged, perhaps irrevocably, but certainly very badly damaged. Jimmy Carter, 3 years ago on this program, said we're no longer a democracy, we are now an oligarchy. I would say absolutely, and a plutocracy and a kleptocracy. Scott, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening to KPFK. You know, I've been using the CBD oil for, you know, quite some time now to deal with the pain in my back, particularly, you know, when just, you know, waking up in the middle of the night from pain in my back. But CBD oil really works. CBD oil is non-intoxicating, which makes it ideal for people seeking the health benefits of cannabinoids without the mind-altering effects of medical marijuana. CBD is non-toxic and has potent pain-relieving and anti-inflammatory properties. The brand I trust the most is New Leaf Naturals, NU Leaf Naturals, the highest quality CBD oil in the market. 100% organic, highly concentrated, contains no additional additives, grown in the United States, and the only ingredient is hemp, so the product remains in its most pure and simple form. Go to newleafnaturals.com. That's NUleafnaturals.com. Save 30% off and receive free shipping in the U.S. when you use the code TOM, T-H-O-M, to go to NUleafnaturals.com. For premium cannabinoid wellness, there's only one place, newleafnaturals.com.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Dave in Federal Way, Washington. Hey, Dave, what's on your mind today?
The worst thing I think Trump has done is he's normalized this concept of the imperial presidency and the unitary executive, which is really just, you know, American political terms for authoritarianism.
Yep.
Yeah, and it really concerns me because if you look at the American political system as a single organism, you know, and you look at it in the evolutionary sense, what we really need is a punctuated equilibrium. Like George Bush said, when George Bush was talking about FISA court, he said that tool does not apply to me. That is not a tool. That is a law. Okay? And laws should apply to all U.S. citizens, including the President of the United States.
Yep.
And the problem is I hear liberals saying all the time, we need bumper stickers. And what's the other thing they say? We need bumper stickers, and there's another little meme liberals are always kicking around that concern me, because what we're doing is we're emulating our adversary, and our adversary is an authoritarian, and this has staying power. I don't know if you saw the article, but Blackwater, Eric Prince is back operating in Iraq. All Trump needs is a hands-down war that he can win to his political advantage. That's the only thing saving us right now. The Pentagon cannot find him one that will, you know, because Trump is, I think, politically, he's shy about casualties, okay? He doesn't want a lot of casualties. But if he gets a second term, he's not going to care about casualties.
And well, I think if he feels like his back's to the wall, he's not going to care about casualties, and I think he's going to be looking at Venezuela and Iran.
Yes, if a liberal gets in there, they need to, you know, either like Jedi mind trick these conservatives like Barack Obama did, or they need to simply put their drive and their ego and their campaign promises secondary to the law. And we got to get back to being a republic. I mean, you know, a state est moi. A state est moi is what Louis XIV famously or infamously said. I am the state.
Right.
These presidents cannot be the state. The republic is the state.
I would argue, Dave, that part of the problem is that since we stopped teaching civics back during the Reagan era, when he initiated under Bill Bennett's supervision of the Education Department, we basically started cutting funding to our schools and cutting standardized programs and you know, federal assistance for particular types of programs. Civics was a big one. It came out of the 50s. I think it was Eisenhower who really was promoting civics education. Certainly Jack Kennedy did. And we have people who are now in their 30s and 40s and certainly in their 20s, voting age, who literally have never read the Constitution, who don't know what it says, who don't know how it works, who don't understand the fundamental principles of a republic or a democracy or the difference between the two or how they, you know, operate together like they do here in the United States.
Yeah, and authoritarianism, unfortunately, is like a cartoon to most of us. We haven't had to deal with it in 200 years.
Yeah.
Okay, it's real, people. It's real.
Yeah.
And it's persistent.
No, I'm with you. I mean, the last authoritarian president that we had was John Adams, to the best of my knowledge. Dave, thanks a lot for the call. It's great to hear from you. Zach in North Hollywood, California. Hey, Zach, thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's on your mind?
The path to complete corruption is paved with pardons and short sentences for white-collar bad guys. We've got to learn to get handcuffs on some of these guys, or they're going to keep going.
Yeah.
I think what your point was, how do we deal with this? We've got to keep speaking and repeating the truth, just like they keep speaking and repeating lies. I think their main message is from the right now is the message is true patriots cheat. The path to power is cheating, and we're the best at it. We've been doing it for 240 years, and all of you who enjoy privilege through corruption will continue to enjoy the benefits if you just disregard the Constitution and vote Republican, ensuring that the subsidies and favoritism remain firmly entrenched. But that's where we're at. So we can just speak and repeat the truth. But the main problem is we can't get handcuffs on anybody. They're going to keep going.
Yeah. And we've got an oligarchic Republican Party that is absolutely committed to the billionaires and the corporations, but they throw bones out to the anti-abortion people, to the pro-gun people, to the, you know, hate people of color and Jews and Muslims people, bigots. And they've built this coalition around people who are hateful and people who are paranoid and the misogynists as well. I mean, Donald Trump's attack on, you know, his lies about infanticide or just really attacks on women, in my opinion, spot on. Zach, thank you for that. Alfonso in San Antonio. Hey, Alfonso, what's up?
My question is they started impeachment proceedings with Trump at this particular moment and those concluded before the election. Could it be possible that if they did not impeach him, that he would gain even more power and succeed onto new presidency?
It all depends on how it plays out, Alfonso. If they go after Donald Trump for, you know, having an affair, like they went after Bill Clinton, lying to cover it up, or even, frankly, the campaign finance violation of, you know, paying somebody to shut up, I'm not sure that will be enough to get him impeached. But if they go after him for serious impeachable crimes, obviously that is a serious crime, but it kind of falls into that Bill Clinton category. But these 10 items of obstruction of justice that Robert Mueller lays out in his report as a starting point. Keep in mind, Bill Clinton was impeached for obstruction of justice. The Nixon impeachment was for obstruction of justice, you know, for messing with the court and political activity. And that is what Donald Trump has done. So, you know, I think if they go after him for things that are consequential that everybody understands, then they will win. If they go after him for something that's abstract or something that's purely sexual, they probably won't. Alfonso, thanks for the call. Tom Harbin here with you. We had a caller and some right-wing guy who was like, oh, Biden is telling a black audience that Trump wants to put them back in chains. Actually, no. Number one, the audience looks mostly white to me. I've got the video. And number two, it was in 2012. What is that? 7 years ago. And number three, well, I'll let you figure out the context. Here is the exact quote. This is Joe Biden back in 2012.
Look at what they value and look at their budget and what they're proposing. Romney wants to let he said in the first 100 days, he's going to let the big banks write their own rules. Unchain Wall Street. They're going to put you all back in chains.
Right. See, he says Romney wants to cut all the regulations on Wall Street and unchain Wall Street. No, Wall Street wants to put you back in chains. Obviously, this has been taken out of context. And our caller said, oh, it's all over the internet. It's easy to find. Yeah. Yeah. See, this is the kind of stuff that the right does. When you can't win an election with honesty, you use dishonesty. I mean, this is the Republican strategy. You can't win an election based on policy, on what you're going to do. So you use smear and lies and innuendo. And that's just the beginning of it. I mean, look at what Donald Trump has done. You know, he's inflicted pain on millions of people through his direct actions, locking children, migrant children in cages. Clint Winter's writing about this in Yes Magazine. He continues to neglect Puerto Rico. In fact, he's cutting aid in support to Puerto Rico. 3,000 people died in Puerto Rico. It was like a 9/11. He's trying to divide us politically. He's trying to divide us racially. He's trying to divide us by gender. He's trying to divide us by sexual orientation and expression. He's trying to divide us by class. He's trying to tear apart Democrats. He's pitting cities against rural areas. This is what autocrats do. We have to acknowledge that we have a man in the White House right now who, like Mohammed bin Salman or Erdogan or Duterte or Bolsonaro, is an authoritarian autocrat. He's a man who wants to run the country with an iron fist, single party rule, with no accountability to other branches of government, other political points of view, none. And what do we do? In the past, talked about how do we deal with this, right? And, you know, impeachment, voting him out. Those things are going to happen, whether he's impeached or whether he's voted out of office or whether he just whether it's even 6 years of Trump. That's all going to happen. Most likely it'll be another year and a half of Trump, but we'll see. How do we put ourselves back together afterwards? Do we need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission? Do we need to strengthen the law? Do we need, I would say, number one, have the Justice Department do away with that memo that the Nixon Justice Department came up with that said that you can't indict a sitting president. That's crazy. Anyhow, Marta in Big Bear Lake, California. Hey, Marta, what's on your mind?
Well, what we do, in my opinion, is we win up and down the, you know, the whole spectrum. And the only way we win is not just focusing on Trump and Russia, which I know you're not doing. You focus a lot on the issues, but I see so many people on Facebook and the mainstream media just focus not just on Russia, not just on candidates' persona or electability, and not just, you know, attacking each other and attacking candidates, but focusing on the issues.
Right.
We can't have this you know, so-called unity before the primary, but we can focus on the issues instead of attacking, you know, the candidates. I am on Facebook, Our Revolution, Inland Empire, and San Bernardino County, and also the Progressive Alliance. So they do a lot to get progressive candidates promoted and also the issues. I did host a Medicare for All canvas at the weekly outdoor market night. I did, on your advice, join the Democratic Club to help get more progressives elected and pressure the establishment candidates to adopt more progressive issues, which we haven't had a lot of success with, but we're still working on that. And I just attended a founding meeting for Bernie 2020. But most of all, I talked to everyone, Republicans, Independents, and Democrats, and, you know, just informed them about the issues. And also suggest that they listen to your program and other progressive media programs.
Thank you, Marta. Thank you. Good on you. And and you're a role model for everybody else. Everybody listening to Marta. This is how you do it. This is what you do. Marta, good on you. Thank you so much. And thanks for sharing your story with us. Paul in Kirkland, Washington. Hey, Paul, what's up?
Yeah, Tom, in terms of the right-wing caller, I'm glad you talked about that Joe Biden clip. But I wanted to add to that is that I think he said, I don't know why you haven't heard it, it's all over the news. It's not news.
Oh, he said it was all over the news. So, in other words, he's watching Fox News.
Exactly. So, I mean, this is, so they're bringing back this stuff because he didn't find that clip by himself on the Internet.
No.
And it was funny that you said, where'd you get it, Breitbart? What's trending on Breitbart now is the reason that you're being gouged by the pharmaceutical companies for these drugs that you don't need is it's all a conspiracy with a cartel of Hillary Clinton. And then the other one is the reason the Jussie Smollett case was dismissed is not have anything to do with Cook County Prosecutor Kim Fox and the police bungling the case. It's Michelle Obama who did it.
Oh, jeez. I was in Chicago over the weekend. I got an earful about the Smollett case. It's just, this is nuts, Paul. And part of the problem with the issue thing, you know, with the last caller said, well, you know, what we need to do is talk about issues, and I agree. But the media right now is, if it bleeds, it leads. If it's a horse race, we cover it. And we don't cover things that aren't horse races. Gossip is better than issues. We'd rather talk about, you know, whether Beto O'Rourke waves his hands too much than whether or not Beto O'Rourke thinks we should have Medicare for all.
Well, best reason, I'll say, of my topic to impeach Trump is not for what he has done, but for what he will do if we impeach him. And that is, he says he's going to run to the Supreme Court.
Right.
I would suggest that if the Supreme Court entertains anything like that, we impeach those justices, too.
Yes, absolutely.
The other thing is, Mitch McConnell would not even bring an impeachment indictment to the floor of the Senate. So, you know, it's not a matter of it's fruitless because he won't be convicted in the Senate. Mitch McConnell won't even bring it to the floor. So what we want to see is...
Has he said that?
No, but he wouldn't bring the whole Merrick Garland.
Oh, he wouldn't even allow hearings for Merrick Garland. He literally did not allow hearings. But Paul, that goes back to this point. This is the very delicate, I think, somewhat delicate dance that Nancy Pelosi is orchestrating, which is if public opinion goes solidly above 50% in favor of impeachment, then Mitch McConnell can't resist that because the Republicans who are up for re-election are going to be saying, hey, wait a minute, I am more likely to get re-elected if I vote to impeach this guy than if I don't, number one. And number two, the reason why public support for impeachment is now lower than it was 4 weeks ago is because Bill Barr came out and lied to us about what's in the Mueller report, just literally lied through his teeth, and the media reported those lies over and over and over again in headlines in all, every newspaper in America and every local radio station and every TV station over and over and over again for 3 weeks. And then when the truth came out, I mean, it's the old Mark Twain saying, the lie gets halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on.
And that's what we were talking about with your previous caller. And right. That's what I'm saying, suggesting, it's kind of like I don't need to have caught you with your hand in the cookie jar before, because if I simply suggest it now and you say, oh, like this, and put your hand in the cookie jar, you're doing exactly what I suggested.
Right.
So if you impeach Trump and he engages in obstruction, then he's showing exactly what he's been accused of.
The hearings are the key to the whole thing, just like they were during Watergate, just like they were with Nixon. We need to lay the case out in front of the American people, and it needs to be fairly simple and straightforward. In the case of Nixon, he conspired to break into the DNC. It turns out, in all probability, what the burglars were looking for was evidence that Nixon had conspired with South Vietnam to stop the peace deal that LBJ had put together in the summer of 1968. So that he could win his election the first time. Nixon was scared to death that was going to get out. And also, he had all these mob connections, and he had taken multiple cash bribes while he was in the White House. He was probably concerned about...
Remember that Nixon didn't know about the break-in. He didn't know about the Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt who had done that. He found out about it, and it was the cover-up. So it's very similar to what's going on with Trump. Is that perhaps he was not, the Mueller report doesn't suggest that he was directly involved or was not enough conspiracy with Russia, but the obstruction of justice is very applicable to the same as Watergate.
Right, and as obstruction of justice is what Nixon was going to be impeached for, and it's what Bill Clinton was impeached for. So spot on, right. Paul. Thanks a lot for the call. If you're like me, then safeguarding your money through market downturns is a clear priority. And frankly, we've seen enough market volatility to make any investor nervous. For people like us who think outside the box and read between the lines, it's becoming even more clear that the insider secret of accumulating physical gold is becoming a lot less of a secret and more of a trend. According to the World Gold Council, in 2018 alone, central bank gold purchases increased by over 74%. The bottom line is that we are starting to see the cracks forming in our economy. And the faster you take action, the better your opportunity. There's only one company I personally recommend in this industry, and that's the expert strategists at ITM Trading. They specialize in wealth protection and opportunity positioning. Both, as you know, are imperative in our current economic climate. Call my friends at ITM Trading at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. Ask for their free gold protection guide and hedge your bets like the top 1% do. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD. John in Carbondale, Illinois. Hey, John, thanks for watching Free Speech. What's on your mind?
Oh, wow, so much. My mind's swimming. Everything your previous guests and you've said earlier, it all runs together. I'm so upset about the Venezuela thing. I had to jot things down, and for the first time I called even Washington Journal Friday and then found your show again Friday. DirecTV is giving people new equipment and changing satellites, whatever. But anyway, almost just to enumerate it, kind of you were right on the mark earlier talking about the whole war thing since Eisenhower, which was before my time, but the whole military-industrial complex. But after you just remind us of all these examples, it does seem like now, even though Republicans were upset with Trump as he was first running, it's almost like Trump's the natural outcome. I know you had like a couple days ago, Mark Meadows was on, I think, Fox and talking about they are trying to mix the whole, it's like, oh, this is what socialism brings you. And, and then tying that to the whole socialist thing that they're trying to do on the Democrats.
Right.
But also, the one thing, like when you mentioned Falwell. Now, I consider myself a Christian, but I'm also a Marxist in a way. So, but like a lot of right-wing Christians really love Trump, mostly on the abortion and the Israel issues. But they are
these people are not Christians, John.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying.
And
they're even comparing Donald Trump to Cyrus the Great, the Persian emperor,
right,
back in like the 6th century B.C. when he sent the Jews back from Babylonian captivity to rebuild their temples. They've got coins with Cyrus and Trump on these coins.
I know.
And, you know, I wish somebody would tell them, like you said about Iran. I wish somebody would tell them, hey, Cyrus the Great was an Iranian. You know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The Persian king, yeah. Persia is Iran. Spot on. I'm very concerned that it's spiraling out of control and that we're not paying close enough attention to it. John, thank you so much for the call. We've been covering a lot of territory here, starting out with war with Iran. Donald Trump is sending warships. John Bolton is apparently getting the dream that he has had since the 90s of the United States having war with Iran. Of course, John Bolton has wanted us to have war with, well, we know of at least seven different countries that he's advocated for war with. War with Iran could very easily and very quickly become a world war. And now we've got a battle group steaming its way toward Iran. And now, I think Trump wants to have his reelection war, just like Reagan had a reelection war. Thatcher had it in the Falklands. Reagan had it in Grenada. George Herbert Walker Bush had his reelection war in Iraq, the first Iraq war. George W. Bush had his reelection war in Iraq, even though we were attacked by people who were living in Afghanistan. You know, it's like any excuse, right? I mean, the Republicans literally can talk an entire country, the United States, and apparently several European allies, into attacking a country that did not attack us and represented no threat to us. That's how insane it is, and Donald Trump is preparing to double down on that. Tom Perez is with us, the chair of the DNC, former U.S. Secretary of Labor. Democrats.org, of course, is the DNC website. Chairman Perez, welcome back.
Always great to be with you and your listeners, Tom.
Thank you. It's great talking with you. Nancy Pelosi said Bill Barr lied to Charlie Crist in his testimony. That is a crime. When are the Democrats going to put Bill Barr in jail or impeach him or both?
Well, I think the first thing I would do if I were in the House is to write a letter to the Inspector General of the Justice Department. By way of background, Tom, I worked there for 12 years, so I know a little bit about that place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Justice Department's Inspector General has an obligation to open up an investigation into this charge because, I mean, just looking at that testimony, we need to bring a dictionary next time so he'll understand the meaning of the word suggest.
Yes.
I mean, that's not, yes. I know it's a polysyllabic word, but it's not a very complicated word.
Yeah.
And so the first thing I would do, ask for an Inspector General investigation. The second thing I would do is make sure we hear in the very near future from Robert Mueller. I actually think it's more important to hear from Robert Mueller before we hear from William Barr, because Robert Mueller is going to tell the truth, I believe. And the truth is going to put Attorney General Barr in a real pickle. You know, when he refers to that letter, he dismissively suggests, oh, that was probably written by his staff. Robert Mueller is a person who understands that his signature means that he owns every piece of information coming out of that office. And I am rather confident that Robert Mueller, when he is called to testify, is going to say, I know that letter. I reviewed that letter. I approved that letter. The notion that, oh, some minion wrote it and it didn't really speak for him is hogwash, and William Barr knows that. I think those are the things that we need to do. Then we need to get the entire unredacted report.
Right.
That's how you build the case, and that's what I believe should be done, Tom.
Yeah, step by step. And if I can put this in a partisan context, there are, in particular, ex-Republican commentators, you know, the Bill Kristols of the world, these people who are the never-Trump right. Republicans who seem to be popping up on TV left and right. And I'm very, very wary about taking, you know, electoral advice from Republicans. But anyhow, who are saying, oh, you really don't want to run against Donald Trump based on his corrupt behaviors, his involvement with Russian oligarchs or other oligarchs and strongmen around the world. Really, you just want to run on, we're going to bring you health care and we're going to break up the big banks or something like that. You know, we're going to put the economy back together. What are your thoughts on Democratic messaging and the election interference that we've been seeing from Republicans sure. in election suppression in state after state?
Democrats have an obligation, and we have the ability and the need to walk and chew gum. What do I mean by that? We have a constitutional obligation to conduct oversight. There is a constitutional crisis emerging right now. They're not only stonewalling on the Mueller report, they're stonewalling on basic oversight. I want information on voting rights enforcement. I want information from the Labor Department and elsewhere on basic issues. And they're saying no to everything. That's a constitutional crisis. The U.S. House has an obligation to do their job. At the same time, it is abundantly clear to me that the one way we are going to remove Donald Trump, Tom, is on November the 3rd, 2020. And that is why the U.S. House has passed common sense gun violence reduction measures. They have passed H.R. 1, which is democracy reform. We are the ones fighting for health care. And the Trump Justice Department filed a brief in the Fifth Circuit, which is in Texas, calling for the entire abolishment of the Affordable Care Act. Our health care is on the line. Women's reproductive health is on the line. Good wages and the right to form a union are on the line. And our democracy as we know it is on the line. The character of our democracy is on the line. And the commander-in-chief is the person who sets the tone as to the character of our democracy. And our commander-in-chief is someone lacking in any moral fiber. And that is why Democrats need to walk and chew gum. We must relentlessly focus on all of those pocketbook issues to make the case. And that's why this oversight is so important. You want to know when you go to the polls, Tom, does this president have my back or is he looking to line his own pockets? This is a president who persuaded a number of people that, hey, I have your back. And what we have seen time and time again, what was H.R. 1 when they controlled the House of Representatives in 2017? That was the tax cut bill. Donald Trump is looking out for himself and for people like him. It's the Democrats who are fighting for prosperity for everyone, not just a few at the top. And it's the Democrats who are fighting to preserve our democracy. So we must walk and chew gum, Tom. And I'm proud of the work that people are doing in the House. And I sure as heck hope that this inspector general at the Justice Department commences an investigation of these very, very serious allegations. He's supposed to be the people's lawyer, not the president's lawyer.
Right. And apparently he doesn't understand that at all. For people who don't know what happened, the Affordable Care Act, you have 17 Republican states where the attorneys general, and actually it was more than 17 back when it was done, but some of those states have dropped out now. Wisconsin got a Democratic governor, so they're out. These states sued the federal government in a fairly right-wing federal district court in Texas. They got a judge to say, yeah, let's strike down the entire Affordable Care Act as being unconstitutional. Then the Democrats appealed that. It's going to the Fifth Circuit, which, you know, I think these proceedings are going to be heard in New Orleans, but I'm not sure. You know, the Fifth Circuit is the South. However the Fifth Circuit rules, it'll almost certainly be appealed to the Supreme Court. Trump now has a solid 5 right-wing majority on the Supreme Court, and his most recent, Kavanaugh, are just severe right-wingers. I mean, how do you think this is going to play out? We're talking about everybody in America now being in a situation where they can be thrown off their health insurance when they get sick, which is how it used to be. That's what Trump wants to take us back to. No more coverage for pre-existing conditions. And by the way, if you get, you know, an expensive illness like cancer, they'll just pull a plug on you.
Well, you're right. And it's impossible to overstate what is at stake here. If you're a listener here who has a pre-existing condition, or you have a 24-year-old who's still on your insurance, that's in danger. If you had a premature baby and he was in the hospital or she was in the hospital for a year and you accumulated $1 million worth of hospital bills, pre-ACA world, you would have been filing for bankruptcy. The ACA eliminated the lifetime cap on benefits. It's impossible to overstate how game-changing the Affordable Care Act is. Here's what's happened, Tom. This is the far-right playbook. The most conservative federal circuit in the country is the Fifth Circuit, which encompasses Texas, Louisiana, and a few other states. So when I was at the Justice Department and at the Labor Department, when the Republicans wanted to try to undo everything we did, like our overtime rule, which was trying to make sure that if you worked extra, you got paid extra, every time they wanted to undo something that we were trying to do to help people, they would file a case in Texas. You remember when President Obama tried to help the parents of Dreamers, that lawsuit was filed in Texas. You get a conservative court and then a conservative appellate court.
How do you think this is going to play out?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that we will lose in the Fifth Circuit because it's a terrible circuit. It will then go up to the Supreme Court. And if this court is true to its principles, there is a very, very easy way to resolve this. There is a doctrine called severability. If there's a part of the Affordable Care Act that you don't like, then you strike that down and everything else stays put. That is a principle of jurisprudence that is not a Democrat or Republican principle of jurisprudence. It's a fundamental principle of jurisprudence. If the Supreme Court is true to its principles, they should uphold it.
Yeah,
That's the $68 million question.
It's going to be a real challenge for John Roberts, I'll tell you. Tom Perez, the chair of the Democratic Party. Thank you so much, Tom.
Always a pleasure.
What's the first thing you do when you get into a new car? You adjust the seat, right? Most cars only allow you to move the seat front or back, but if it's a luxury car, you can adjust your lower back or lumbar support. Well, most of us spend more time in our office chairs than we do in our cars. And how many adjustments can you make to your office chair? If it's any fewer than 10 customized ergonomic adjustments, then you do not have an X chair. I can adjust my X chair to fit my body perfectly, and thanks to the X chair's patented dynamic variable lumbar support, or DVL, my back gets the perfect level of support. DVL is the key to ideal posture, comfort, and productivity, and only the X-Chair has it. My X-Chair is on sale now for $100 off. Just go to xchairtom.com. That's xchairtom.com or call 1-844-4-X-Chair. X-Chair comes with a 30-day no-questions-asked guarantee of complete satisfaction, and you can finance your purchase for as little as $30 a month. Go to xchairtom.com, use the code XWheels, and you'll receive a free set of the new X-Wheels to go with your chair. That's xchairtom.com. Let's check in with Bob Ney and find out what's going on in the world today. This report brought to you by GoatsForTheOldGoat.com and Loving What You Do, a new book out by Ellen Ratner. On the line with us, Bob Ney, the author of Sideswiped, former congressman from Ohio. Congressman, welcome back to the program. What's up in the world today?
Well, thank you, Tom. I want to go to, I think, one of the most important things. You and I have talked about this for months, and that's John Bolton in the National Security Agency. He's, you know, the advisor, as we know, to the president. But if you look back historically on this, and I think there's a lot that people just don't realize that he was involved with. This isn't just something they decided this weekend about the ships that they're sending near the Strait of Hormuz near Iran. But in 2002, John Bolton, back then, he flew to Europe and he demanded the resignation of a Brazilian named Jose Bustani. And Jose Bustani, Tom, was the head of the Organization for the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. And Bolton looked at him as an obstacle to be able to get, you know, information out there against Iraq. So Bustani was deemed by Bolton to be this obstacle for the invasion of Iraq. So Bolton went over, and what we know he said is, you know, he wanted his removal, and Bolton demanded that he step down Bustani in 24 hours, and he added, "We know where your children are," is what Bolton had told him.
Oh, my
God. "We know
where
your children are." Yes. That's what Bolton told Bustani.
So John Bolton is a gangster.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Of course, Trump is a gangster. I mean, you know, he's in tight with the Eastern European mafia, you know, in New York, has been forever. And frankly, with the Sicilian mafia, as far as we can tell.
Well, and what's happened here, if you look back at some words by our, you know, now Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, Pompeo once suggested that we should launch 2,000 sorties, 2,000, to destroy the Iranian nuclear capacity. And now he actually suggested that. Bolton suggested that we nuke Iran. So what they have done is they have planned this over a period of months now. Now, they put out that there was a regularly scheduled deployment of the Abraham Lincoln, the carrier strike group, and they said this is a regular deployment, but it wasn't. It's been planned. Now, in the message, Tom, if we really look at what Bolton is saying, because also this is an extremely unusual move that the National Security Agency advisor to the president announces all of this.
Right, now, rather than the Pentagon.
Right, and people in the Pentagon have actually, sources in the Pentagon have said that they have worried all along he is going to provoke a war. And if you look at what John Bolton says, He says that we quote, are sending a message, a clear and unmistakable message to Iran, is what he is saying.
Mm-hmm.
But what he also says, this is the most important part of the entire release, what he says. He told the national media that the strike group was deployed after clear indications that Iran, along with its proxy forces, were preparing a possible attack on U.S. forces in the region. The Pentagon has flatly said they know of absolutely nothing happening in that manner, right?
But these and same guys now, said that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction he was going to use, you know, against the United States, when that was a lie, too. I mean, we believed that lie.
Yes, and Bolton was one of the forces behind Iraq and the lie of the weapons of mass destruction, which many of us bought into, because they even showed us information we're not even allowed to tell it today, but it was obviously fake information.
You mean you, as a member of Congress, were given fake information by John Bolton?
We know now that Bolton was behind the distribution of the information of weapons of mass destruction. We know that now. Now, the people that were on the floor of the House that day that showed us, they were from the NSA and the CIA, etc. And again, it's still classified. I wish they'd actually unclassify it so we could find out once and for all where it came from, frankly.
Right.
Nobody's done that, and they should. Here's the scariest part, Tom, of what he said. He said that we will take action against the Iranians if they take any action, quote, against our allies or any proxy force by the Iranians. So somebody could do some kind of wild thing, and he could say, oh, that was the Iranians. That's the proxy force.
Oh, that's, you know, the example that I used on the air was you know, what if, some U.S. GIs get ambushed and killed, and or even badly wounded. I mean, that might even actually make a better photo op, because we don't show dead bodies. And this becomes the bloody shirt that Trump waves the way that Bush waved the bloody shirt of 9/11 to get us into Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11. This would have nothing to do with Iran. But hey, he would say, oh, it was Iranian-inspired forces that did the attack.
Yes, and if you look back at the history of all of this from Iraq forward, you will see John Bolton. I mean, he has been involved since day one under the Bush administration. He goes way back to Iran-Contra, actually, as we know. The guy has been around causing chaos and problems forever. And this is nothing different.
Do you think that Trump is thinking of this possible war in Iran as something that will help him get reelected? He accused Obama of that 5 different times in tweets.
Oh, I think that Bolton is pushing him towards that direction, and he can have the tough commander-in-chief. He went and got the Iranians. They took our hostages, you know, that whole scenario. Hopefully Trump doesn't buy into Bolton.
I think he already has. I really do. But, you know, we'll see. Congressman, thank you so much for dropping by today.
Thank you.
Bob Ney, good talking with you.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.